Thank you so much for tuning in today for Mornings for the Master. This is J.J. Hendricks, and we're going to be going over Proverbs chapter 15. And basically what we're going to do is just kind of run down verse by verse. Talk about all the different words of wisdom that we find from Proverbs chapter 15. The first verse I have underlined in my Bible, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. So if we look at that very first verse, it takes two people to have an argument. If we look here, we see that we must answer softly. The worst thing we can do is pout and not talk. Perhaps we should silently pray a few minutes and then answer quietly. Screaming never accomplishes anything. It just causes a fight. Angry words bring angry words in return. And the first thing you know, there are problems that are difficult to settle because everyone has said too much. The best way is to stay calm and to talk quietly. And that's how we should handle our problems. You know, there are some people that they don't like what you've done, so they avoid you, they ignore you, and then you finally, after you've asked them a few times, what have I done, they finally tell you. And that's not the Christ-like thing to do, but we see right here the response. It should be one of humility. It should be one that is with a soft answer. And no matter how outrageous the allegations may be. So the deal is when somebody does come at you in a wrong way, try your best to give a soft answer and not say things that you're going to regret. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The tongue is a mighty weapon. The wise are very careful about what they say. They choose their words carefully. A fool blurts out whatever comes to mind. He takes no thought at all in what he says. He stays in trouble by the words that come pouring from his mouth. We need to be a people that are wise when it comes to what we say. And wield the tongue like a very effective weapon. But we need to be a people that don't seek to tear someone down. We need to strive to build people up. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Keep watching on the evil and the good. Keeping watch on the evil and the good. In Revelation, we read about the symbolic meaning of eyes, which means great wisdom. In this verse, it's speaking of the Lord being omnipresent, being everywhere, all the time. He knows everything we do, even if it's done in cover of darkness. God is not out to get us. He sees all the good we do as well. But we can't think that we're hiding from God. Hebrews 4:13 says that everything is going to be uncovered. Therefore, we need to live our lives to the best of our ability, staying out of sin, living in His statutes, and doing what He would have us to do. In verse 4, we see a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So words can destroy or words can heal. The wholesome tongue speaks beautiful words of hope. That tongue speaks life and not death. The tree of life is a metaphor referring to temporal and spiritual renewal and refreshment. The wholesome tongue of the preacher brings the good news of the gospel, and if the message is heeded, it brings eternal life. This perverseness is probably lies being spoken that will do harm to others, and that's the latter part of the verse where it says perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So we see that probably lies being spoken that words being spoken that will do harm to others. In verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. So a fool will not accept instruction, especially from his father. He is a know-it-all, has to make every mistake for himself instead of learning from others' mistakes. A person who takes instruction well will be saved much pain and suffering. He learns from others' mistakes and doesn't have to pay for each mistake himself. In verse 6, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. So we see with that, in this, we see two ways of getting treasure. The righteous has much treasure because he has earned it fairly, and God has blessed him. The wicked earns theirs in an unlawful way. Ill-gotten gain is soon lost. You have people that will sue, there is no honor amongst thieves. So we need to strive to do things the right way. In verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. In Luke, we read of two different messages the lips bring. In Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We see the heart is where the message originates. Now, the heart isn't talking about the blood pump in our chest. It is talking about our mind. And Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. We see one of the first offerings in the Bible being rejected by God. Cain's offering was unacceptable to God. Cain even killed his brother because of his jealousy, and that didn't change God's stance. External acts of worship, though according to biblical prescription, are repulsive to God when the heart of the worshiper is evil. And sometimes people think that they can show up to church on a Sunday and live like the devil all week long, and as long as they take the Lord's Supper and participate in worship, that God will be pleased. That's not the case at all. Prayer changes things. So we have to remember God listens to our prayers. We see all the patriarchs praying to God. Great men of the Bible, such as Moses, Joseph, and David, all prayed often to God. Even Jesus prayed to the Father. God likes for us to pray. Prayer is a time of fellowshipping with God. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." I put my kids to bed every night, and the girls are starting to ask more Bible questions. And during our prayer together, I mentioned something that was specific to us. And my youngest, Lily, said, why would you pray for that? And I said, because, I mean, God wants to hear from us. And they said, you know why? Well, if God knows everything, why would you want to pray for it? And I said, well, it's like, you know, we go and see a TV show. I watched it with you. But I want to hear from you. What did you like about it? What did you think? And God's the same way. God sees that we hurt. God sees when we're happy. And he wants to hear from us, to hear the joy or the sadness. And he wants to work with us and to help us. God wants to do that. So when we pray, what does God hear? Is it the words you use or something else? What does the following scripture mean? Consider how prayer works. Whenever we pray, it can be a groan, and the Holy Spirit deciphers that groan. It goes through our mediator, which is Jesus Christ, and it goes to the ear of God. And God hears our pleas, hears our prayers in good times and in bad. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9, "The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness." This is speaking of a way of life. A pattern is set to either walk the broad way of wickedness, which leads to destruction, or to walk the straight and narrow path, which pleases God. There are only two paths. We must go on one or the other. The path of righteousness is the path that Christians must take. To be a Christian, you have to act like a Christian. I mean, our life has to pattern if we are following Christian precepts, if we're doing what the New Testament teaches for us to do. Verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 15, "There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die." Forsaking the way of life is intended here. Jesus is the way of truth and righteousness, and to forsake him brings death. Sin has to be repented of and corrected to get in the way which leads to life. Those who reject repentance and correction in Jesus shall die in their sins. Some places today will say, you just come as you are. You don't have to change. Well, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. Some people say, well, you know, I only read the red letters. Well, this is red letters. Repent or likewise perish. In chapter 15 and verse 11, we see Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man. So we see by this that hell and destruction are fully known of God. God also can see into the heart of man and knows what is in each person's heart. God even knows the desires of each person's heart. He knows the desires of our heart before we pray, but he wants us to pray. In verse 12, "A scoffer does not like to be reproved, but he will not go to the wise. So the scorner or the scoffer is an arrogant, conceited person who dislikes anyone who tries to correct him. This possibly has to do with not wanting to be taught about God. And of course, the wise would be telling him about God, so he doesn't want to hear it. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, what we see is a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. If your heart is merry, then your actions will be merry. But when you're sad, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to let people know that you're sad. And sadness can cause us to do a lot of different things. And that's why we're told throughout the Bible, lean on believers in God. Let them help you. I encourage people whenever I offer an invitation to help get someone back on their feet. If you're hurting, then let someone else help you to get better. If somebody else is hurting, you help them to get better. We're all in this together. While we'll stand individually at the foot of the cross, then we can work together to help each other get across that finish line. In verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly. We see that the heart's desire of the first person here is to seek even more knowledge. The fool is always hanging on to every foolish thing he hears. He feeds on falsehoods. And all you have to do is look at Facebook, and you can see that there's a lot of foolishness that goes on there with people that aren't wanting to be Christ-like. I mean, unfortunately, even some people Christ-like act foolish. So I think it was Betty White, one of the ladies that was on Golden Girls, and she said she found out what Facebook was, and it really just seems like a colossal waste of time. It can be unless you utilize it for good. In Proverbs 15:15, we see all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. So we see that this affliction is not physical, but probably has to do with depression. We see a person whose depression is almost continuous. This person never sees anything good. He looks at the dark side of life. The contrast here is he of a merry heart sees everything from a positive attitude. Life to him is a continuous joy. The righteous always are at peace. The joyous inward condition of the wise man's heart is described as a perpetual feast. Now, there are some people who struggle with depression. Some of it is based off of their own action. Some of it is based off of things that they can't control, like genetics or something along those lines. And for those people, I say get help. Go talk to a counselor. Take medication that you may need to take so that you can walk with God to the fullest of your abilities. And some people disagree with that, but we wouldn't tell someone that has diabetes, you know what, if you just had better faith, then you wouldn't need that insulin. The brain is just as much of an organ as a liver is or a pancreas. So we need to be understanding with people who struggle with depression and help encourage them to get the help that they need so that they can be the best Christians that they can be. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in trouble with it. We have said in an earlier portion in Proverbs, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord brings a relationship with God that will get you to heaven. There is no treasure great enough that it would be worth trading eternity with God for. Wealth many times brings sorrow. Christians should be content with whatever state they're in. Wealth sometimes keeps people away from a really close relationship with God. It would be much better to be poor and close to God. And, you know, it's easy to say something along those lines. That last part was from a commentator. But you can be rich and go to heaven, but you can also be poor and go to hell. All of it matters to the heart. Now, a reason that wealthy people have so much trouble with it is they're going to continue to seek money, to continue to follow money to get that lifestyle. So the goal is when we work is to focus on pleasing God no matter what. So whether I end up wealthy, whether I end up poor, my goal is going to be to please God. In verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. So this is telling us again that pleasant company is far more important at a meal than the food on the table. A dinner of herbs and vegetables was the typical dinner of the poor. The ox is speaking of some fairly expensive meat. Herbs here is speaking of a meal with vegetables. I heard someone say that for many years they didn't have enough money to buy bacon and eggs for breakfast and just had gravy and bread. And she said we were happy and didn't even realize we were missing anything. Happiness is what we're all looking for, not some special food. And we can be happy wherever we are. I mean, Paul says he could be high, he could be low, but he's always been taught to be content. Verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. We need to be patient. We need to not be someone who's known to fly off the handle. Verse 19, the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. We need to be a people who are diligently going forward, who are seeking to do what God would have us to do. In verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Again, we see reference to wisdom and foolishness. When somebody is wise and obedient to God, it can please their parents, but making ignorant decisions is embarrassing to the parents because it reflects on the parents. Verse 21, folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Some people are happy in their ignorance, and some people think that if they don't know something, God can't hold them accountable for it. We have the Bible at our fingertips. We are able to study that Bible to know what God would expect of us to do. People read so many different books, and they watch so many TV shows, and they think on the Day of Judgment they can tell God they just didn't have time. And that is not going to work. Verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. The New Testament church is made up of a plurality of elders. So you have the wisdom of more than one man that come together that can put together the best plans. Verse 23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man and a word in season. How good is it? So we need to be a people with knowledge to be able to give a good answer to those who are around us. Verse 24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. We need to be a people that look onward and upward, set our sights on things above, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Verse 25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. So God will take care of us in that we serve a God who is fully just. If I'm right with God, if I've been obedient to him, if I've done what he would have me to do, I can know that I will go to heaven. We see that happen with Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. And for him to be able to know that lets us know that we can also know that. If we do what the Bible says, and it takes diligent study, we can't ignorantly say, whoop, I know I'm good. We need to be a people that are diligently studying our Bibles. So verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. We need to stop the stinking thinking, and we get our minds right, and our mouths will soon follow. Verse 27, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. We need to be honest people, and trouble comes when dishonesty steps in. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Again, it goes back to the mind, the heart. We need to get that right, and everything else can fall in line. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. We need to be a people that are right with God, that pull back into a good relationship with him. As James chapter 4, verse 4 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I'm reminded of the man and the woman that start dating, got one of those trucks with a bench seat, and she's just sitting next to him, got her arm wrapped around his while he's driving, and you know, they date for a while, they get engaged, they get married, and as time goes on, she eventually scoots to the other side, slowly, of the truck and has her elbow up on the window of the truck and looks over and says, you know, we used to drive down the road and we were arm in arm. And he looked over at her and said, I never moved. It's the same way with God. God wants to have a relationship with us, but if we drift away, it's our fault. We have to drift back to God. We have to go back. We have to be diligent. Verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. hearing of someone obeying the gospel or coming back to the Lord should excite us. The angels rejoice. It should be something that refreshes us to continue in our walk. Verse 31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Basically, you listen to wisdom, you apply wisdom, you can have some wisdom. And you read the book of Proverbs and you do the opposite, you're going to live a very short and miserable life. So whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Now, I worked for the Brown Trail School of Preaching. I attended the Brown Trail School of Preaching, and whenever you start off giving your lessons, the director or those that are critiquing you, and I say that in the best way possible because they want you to be a better speaker, is they'll start with your big stuff. And as you work on that, they'll start polishing, you know, what if you did it this way? What if you, this can be a little distracting when you do that, when you preach. And eventually it can get fine-tuned. And the guys that would listen, and I always prided myself on being coachable. Somebody says, do something. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. That sounds good. You work with an eldership or a congregation. They say, you know, if you try it this way, you can have more success. Okay, you know the people better than I do. Let's try it. Now, I'm not saying sacrifice doctrine by any means, but, you know, to fit the needs of the people, you do what can effectively reach them the best. But in preaching school, you would have some guys who just didn't think it was a problem. They never improved on those big things. So anytime they got a critique, it was the same thing. And it's because they weren't going to be able to work on the smaller stuff because they weren't working on the bigger stuff. And we see that happen in the world today. Is you've got employers that are like, hey, you want to work on that? Yeah, sure, I'll do that. And they'll work on that, and eventually they can become a great employee and somebody that makes the employer glad, where you can look at an employer that asks somebody, hey, can you do this different? Who's he think he is telling me to do something? And that type of employee usually isn't long tenured. So we see whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Learning about people, learning about dealing with people, working with people. And for those who just don't want to listen to that stuff, that ignorance is only hurting you. It's hurting yourself, and it's hurting, and that hurt can end up reaching out to others, where being someone who's able to listen to instruction and apply it is going to be good. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So the fear of the Lord, that healthy respect, that putting yourself in a position of humility, honor will come later. There's some people that want to carry honor with them, be a big name preacher, be an important person in the community. First and foremost, we have to be servants. It doesn't matter how many times somebody will quote you in a lesson or want to come to you about certain things. You've got to be humble. You've got to be kind. You got to be respectful. The fear of the Lord, that healthy respect, that reverence is instruction in wisdom. You gain wisdom by respecting God and understanding though he is loving, he is also just. And when we understand God, we know that humility is going to come before honor. So we look through chapter 15 and we see quite a few different things that are coming together all in one place. And what we can pull that from is listen to wisdom, apply what you've learned, be humble, do things the right way, and it will all work out in the end. You'll be a blessing to the people around you, and you can spend an eternity with God in heaven. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope this has been a benefit for you. The Proverbs are a little abstract to me. I prefer going through the minor prophets or something I can sink my teeth into. I'm not very good at the poetic language, but I believe these principles are easy to see, even if I'm not as good at explaining them. But we see some good principles here of seeking to do God's will, seeking to do what he instructs us with, and applying what he's learned. So thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in on Monday as we continue on with the Proverbs. Have a great week, and remember, I'm proud of you.